Welcome. It's great to see you once again. If you're a guest, a visitor, a regular, a semi-regular, what other sort of metaphor can I use there? It is great to see you this morning. Hopefully, we have come together to explore more of who God is and what does it mean to follow Him fully and completely and with absolutely everything that we have. I don't know what you've been up to in the past few weeks. Maybe you've been on holidays. Life has simply been busy, but it is great to have you here. So I'm going to start off by filling you in on what we have been looking at in 1 Peter. So we have been looking at this letter, 1 Peter, and you'll never guess who it's written by. See, I told you, none of yous have guessed, all right? It's attributed to Peter. Now, Peter's writing to a group of Christians, in case you were unsure of who he was writing to. Now, this group of Christians have spread to various regions of the Roman Empire. If you look at theology and you look at what the theologians call this group, they call them the Elect Pilgrims. Man, wouldn't you love a name like, I'm one of the Elect Pilgrims? It sounds nearly like a sporting team, doesn't it? Anyway, they're elect because of their position before God. These people, wherever they have spread, are God's chosen people. And the pilgrim bit has to do with the fact that they are going out into the world. But here's the reality of that sentence. They're going out into the world and they are strangers. They seem to be weird. They're a little bit different. They no longer seem to really fit in. I don't know if you've been to Sydney recently. There are some suburbs where you feel like a little bit of a foreigner. I don't mean that in a negative sort of way, but you go to some places and I feel lost. I feel like I've hopped off a plane. But this last bit, this idea of fitting in, I think is really key and important to understand this letter. I want you to put yourself in this elect pilgrim's position. Scholars and theologians think that these are the people who most likely heard Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2. You know that passage, right? Where they come out and they're speaking in different languages and different tongues, and someone goes, oh, look at these guys, they're drunk. Peter, who gets up and delivers the message of grace to these people, that the kingdom of God is now and here and it's for them? Could you imagine hearing that message? And the Bible says what? 3,000 of them said, yes, that's me. I want to be part of it. Who have then gone home and gone back into their neighborhoods and then they start telling their neighbors. Something's changed. So what do? Well, they start planting churches. And what happens is, to steal a modern phrase, people get woke. They get woke to the system. They're suddenly seeing things differently. Wait a second, this is not how it should be. So this morning, I really want us to take a moment and think about that. This concept of fitting into our world. But not fitting into our world in the modern concept of fitting in, but rather this is fitting in with the world, which is a plea to understand that we now relate to the world differently. When Jesus was around, there were those who thought the coming Messiah was going to be a great warrior, a great king, someone who was going to lead Israel in battle against the Romans. They were waiting for someone on a big white stallion with a great big sword going, charge! Now, if Jesus came like that, the way the people would fit in, well, it would be sort of guerrilla warfare. The Jews, the ones who were waiting for the Messiah, would be called to arms, be as disruptive as possible. Let's take down the system. But that's not how Jesus came. So how do they fit in with the world? How do we now see the world? It's now different. We could look at a modern-day concept, and we could take the Amish. And they look at, well, if Jesus has done all of these things for us, and we know that the world is bad, well, we want to be different from the world, so let's just reject modernism. Let's reject modern advances like electricity and medicine. To fit in for them in Christ is to live differently. The fit in we're trying to understand here is, what is our place with the world on one side and God on the other and us in the middle? How do we live out what God has done for us in a world that doesn't really get it? I think that's why Peter calls us aliens. That's how he starts this letter. He calls us aliens. It's to mark that we are different. They are different. That those who accepted Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Son of God, now think differently about the world. Do you know what the early church was known for? It was known for caring for the orphans and the widows. And what was the worldview of those times? They're not my family, they're not my problem. So Peter, in this letter, has been talking about Christian character. And he's trying to get us to picture what it looks like in being under authority. And first off, his whole massive example is we're under God's authority. But then he talks about what it looks like to submit to the government and to our bosses. He even talks about our spouse. Peter also points out to us that, you know what? We might disagree with the world and our fit with it, but we can't simply rebel against it. Jesus has redefined everything for us. Could you imagine living your life where you weren't sure where you stood with God? Did I give enough in the offering? Did I take enough sacrifice? Did I give the right thing? I read these things and I start to feel really anxious. I don't think I would cope if I did not know where I stood with God. Don't have to bribe them anymore. We don't have to worry about making them happy. And as that song said, you know, he reached down to us and changed it all. We know where we stand because Jesus has done it all for us. So then he turns to this, verses 8-9. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Not a typo. Evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Peter moves on from this idea of submission and he moves on to encouraging Christians who are suffering. And he's teaching them how to respond. And again, this is a picture of how we conduct ourselves. It's a picture of our character, and it's our character in light of Jesus. But I think the saddest part of these first two verses, and I think they are incredibly sad, has to do with the context that we find them in. Verse 8 has to do with those who believe. it starts off with this context of saying, hey, you're a body together. And sometimes someone within the body hurts you. How do you respond? Peter encourages us to live in harmony with one another. This means that there are those who are suffering within the church that might be suffering from someone else within the same body. Sometimes, I don't know if it's the reality that many believers aren't simply aware of. I know the world thinks that a church has it all together. Have you had conversations where people go, you know what, I'm not good enough to go in there because I haven't got it all together? People within the church and outside the church expect the church to be perfect, to always be different from the world. However, if you hang around people in church long enough, you will discover that you and I are just as sinful as the world, as those outside, as those who say there is no God. But we do have one difference between us and the world. It's that we are deliberately trying to be remade into the image of Christ. The reality is, we work at different speeds. Sometimes it might feel like, oh, I haven't gotten that concept, and I look over there and that person has. But there's also a deeper reality here. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that there will be many who call him Lord, Lord, who aren't truly saved, who practice iniquity. Regardless of where you experience suffering, in your home, in your workplace, in your church, I think we have this programming within our brain that says, when I feel like I'm being mistreated, I want to settle the score. I want revenge. In some shape or form, I want to respond. I want an eye for an eye. People are spreading lies about me. I want to return the favor, return serve with an even bigger lie. And what's Peter's response? Man, that programming there is absolute rubbish. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Jesus has changed everything for us. In light of his life, his death, and his resurrection, he has changed the way we think about everything. And how we need to be more in line with him and less in line with the world. Have you ever heard one of those stories where someone, you know, has experienced a great injustice? I was reading one the other day about this young man who was on drugs and killed someone. And the mother of the victim was in court. And she stood by the would-be attacker and said, I've lost a son, but now you're going to be my son and I'm going to care for you. And our brain goes, no, that's not how we think. That's a really weird concept. I mean, they've given you the greatest evil that possibly could be, and you're responding with a blessing? I think that's a reflection of exactly what God has done for us. While we were still enemies with God, while we were as far as the east is from the west, God sent Jesus. And in this passage, Peter is constantly encouraging the early church to adapt a Christ-like posture with people. See, so much hurt is caused willingly and unwillingly by people in our world today, inside and outside of the church. And this passage is a great reminder that we are being called to a higher way of relating to others. We live in a world where we want grace, but we don't want to give grace to other people. Peter calls us to bless them regardless of how we feel we've been treated by them. And that's really hard, right? Just go for a drive in traffic. Someone cuts you off. The goose who doesn't merge when it says left lane ends and goes right down the end and jams in and makes everything slow down. You get a little bit... Okay, maybe I just get riled up. But then when I make a mistake, when I'm the one who accidentally missed the merge sign, when I'm the one who is trying to push in, I'm expecting grace? We want grace, but we struggle to give grace. A Bible scholar called Warren Wiersbe notes that, you know what, we have three responses, three fundamental choices of how we will respond to people around us. The first one is this: we respond with evil when others do good to you. Have we met people like this in our lives? Someone who always seems to be doing the underhanded thing, or maybe it's us doing the underhanded thing. Wiersbe calls this the satanic way, the evil way. And then he says, look, we can respond with evil when people treat us evil, and we can go good when people give us good. And he says, that's the human way of responding to the world. That's the worldly way. Hey, we all agree with that, right? Yeah, someone's nice to us and we'll be nice to them back. Someone says hello to you, you smile and say hello back, right? It's the social construct that our world is built on. But then he says, we have this third way. We respond with good regardless of how people treat us. If they treat us well, doesn't matter. If they treat us poorly, doesn't matter. We are called to live in this third way, the godly way. This is Christianity 101. Verse 11 and verse 12 says this: they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We suffer from time to time. Some of us suffer more than others. But I want to be a realist and say, you know what, sometimes, maybe I shouldn't say we, sometimes I've suffered from the results of my own hands. But I also think that some of our suffering is not caused by anyone. It might simply be wrong place, wrong time, or a simple accident. But again, we go back to that programming. I'm hurt. I want to lash out. I want my eye for an eye. Have you heard that the theory that, you know, with like with static and things that your mind can't really understand, that it tries to assign a value to it? So you hear phrases where they might not necessarily be phrases. It's just one of the ways our brain works. I think when we suffer, we want to assign it to someone. We want to say, oh, there's the cause of my problem. I need to fix that. And you know what? I think we start getting paranoid. When we're suffering, I think we start to act differently towards other people. You don't understand, Daryl. They're out to get me. No, I know. They're out to get me. So that blue car's been following me all day. Don't understand, Daryl. My boss is looking at me and waiting for me to fail. And when we feel like this, when we start to get paranoid, you know what we do? We cut ourselves off from others. We put up barriers. We no longer want to interact with people. And this poor person that you've put a barrier up between is probably there going, I have no idea what I've done. They have no idea what's going on in your mind. But in your mind, it is their fault. Now, read Peter's words again with that mindset, and you can see how if we repay good no matter what, it negates all of it. If you feel someone has hurt you, be kind to them. You know that someone is causing your suffering. Do not repay evil with evil. People are saying things behind your back. Do not reply with words of hate. And again, we come back to this idea of we are aliens in Muswellbrook. We live differently. Peter wants us to reframe our character. He wants us to reframe and center it on the example of Christ's life. Verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. In your bulletin, you'll probably find there's a link to an article that talks more about suffering from Bible.org. If you want to look more at it, I know we're limited on time, so have a look at that. It's a really great article. It takes it to this deeper level. It talks about how we as Christians, when we should suffer, should always seek to live with the right attitude. It will pick up on ideas of, you know, God's blessing rather than man's curse. It'll look at how through our suffering and our positive response, we can be ready to defend our beliefs and our values. It talks about how we should keep ourselves as a clear conscience and not sink to the level of the world. It talks about seeing our suffering in the light of Jesus and how he suffered for us. When we suffer, we want to respond. Peter calls us to do good. And maybe the goodest thing we can do, sorry, poor language, is simply walk away from the situation for a while. But I want to leave us with this passage in context of what we read so far. Peter is painting this picture of how we, as followers of Jesus, should live our lives. We're called to submit with grace and dignity to those who are in authority over us. We're told that our actions speak just as loudly as our words, if not more so. And this is most true in suffering. When we suffer, when we are in pain, we want to express it in some shape or form. Have you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? You want to respond, don't you? You want to yell, scream, kick something. That's how it is in suffering. We want to respond. And often our response is we want to cause others to suffer as well. We want to return evil for an evil, an eye for an eye. But Peter is pointing it out. Come on, guys, your character has changed. God's love is seeping down to the very center of who you are. The way you see the world, the way you think about things needs to be different. I get it. Suffering sucks. Slander is painful to go through. Lies hurt. It is all true. But we must realize that in life, chances are we'll go through times of these hardships and suffering, and chances are that these sufferings are caused by someone else. But often these trials reveal what's really going on inside of us. In the midst of hard time, people will often cause conflicts and problems, even in God's house, even amongst God's people. Don't believe me? Go and read about Israel when they rebelled against Moses, Aaron, and God. We shouldn't be surprised that it happens in churches as well. But we are God's people. We are called to respond differently, to be remade in the image of Christ. We're called to respond to suffering, injustice, with grace and mercy. Even those from within the church, even those outside of the church, do you know suffering sucks? Anyone want to try and change my mind on that? But suffering gives us a chance to show God's character. So if we suffer, let us live with right attitudes. In suffering, let us respond with blessing instead of evil. In suffering, let us focus on blessing and the reward of God. In suffering, let us not be afraid. In suffering, let us submit to Christ as Lord. In suffering, let us be ready to defend our hope in God. In suffering, let us maintain a clear conscience. In suffering, let us be willing to endure it as part of God's will. In suffering, let us remember first and foremost, Christ suffered for the righteous sake. In other words, Christ suffered for us. Let us pray. Father, we continue to come before you and to ask you, Lord, continue to chip away the hard edges from us. Lord, we pray that you mold us more and more into your Son's image in this world. Father, we know how the world wants to repay things. You do good for me and I'll do good for you. You do evil against me and I will respond with evil. But Father, we pray that we might be different, that we might be aliens in our community, that we might stand up in our workplaces, that we might not fall into those traps, Lord, but that our character would speak volumes. We are different because of you. So, Father, we pray. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this with our own strength. So attune our ears to your Holy Spirit. Attune our ears to your voice inside of us. Lord, can we go from this place being sowers of grace and mercy in light of suffering? And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team to conclude with another song.